Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. You're listening to What to Read Next podcast, episode 55. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the show. Before we get to today's book recommendations, I want to share a few words about Book of the Month. Book of the Month is a monthly subscription box that costs $14.95. This box comes with a hardcover new release book. Some of the books that I have gotten read over the past couple months include The Book of Essie, When Katie Met Cassidy, The Kiss Quotient, Seven Husbands of Hovel and Hugo. If you're interested in signing up and get a free book, please go to whattorenextblog.com/bookofthemonth. Now today's show. Today's guest is Allie. She's the podcaster behind the SSR podcaster, Shit She Read, which is one of my go-to podcasts that I re-listen to every week. In this episode, we talk all things podcasting, get great literary fiction reads, and what you should pick next. Now let's get today's show. Hi, Allie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
So happy to have you here. So tell us who you are.
Well, my name is Allie Hoff-Kosick. I live in Brooklyn, New York. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, but I've been a city girl for my whole adult life. I went to school in Washington, D.C., and I've been in New York for about 6 years now. For work, I'm a freelance writer full-time. So I write for women's magazines and women's websites like Marie Claire, Real Simple, Bustle, Brit & Co., Racked, The Kitchen, lots of different places. And then I also run blogs for a few small businesses, which is like a fun other project that I do. And I'm also the host of a book podcast called the SSR Podcast, which launched a couple of months ago. And when I'm not reading or writing or doing any of those things, I love to run and watch really embarrassing TV, like all of the worst reality TV that you can imagine that like cancels out all the reading that I do. And I love to cook and just like hang out with friends and my husband here in New York.
Love it. Where did you go to school in DC?
I went to GW, George Washington University.
That's awesome. I went to school at University of Maryland. I got my master's there.
Oh, cool. I looked at University of Maryland. That's such a cool campus. It's so big. And I went to a huge high school and I was like a little overwhelmed by having a similar like huge experience.
Yeah.
But everybody that I know that went to Maryland loved it.
Yeah, it's a great campus. It's close to DC, has like great stuff. It's kind of nice. So it's nice in the suburbs, but at the same time, you're closer to DC. So I had a really good experience there.
GW was such like a weird college experience because it's so like not a typical college. So in hindsight, I sort of wish I'd listened to my parents a little bit and like tried to get that traditional campus. But being in a city, you get like a whole new perspective on things. So I think, you know, grass is always greener, obviously.
Yeah, no, in GW, I've been to the campus a couple of times. It's kind of, it's similar to NYU in that sense. It's closer, it's like a city campus, so.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it's like 5 minutes from the White House and smack in the middle of everything, so it's like a super cool place to go to school, just kind of forces you to grow up really fast.
Yeah, I understand, so that's awesome. So you mentioned the SSR podcast, so tell us all about it. What does SSR stand for?
Sneaky things it stands for, so I can share both if that's okay.
That would be perfect.
Okay, so officially it stands for silent sustained reading. When I was growing up in elementary school, we had SSR every day in class, and it was like my favorite thing because I've always been a bookworm. And SSR was the time that you got to just like sit at your desk and nobody would talk to you, and you could just read your book for half an hour or an hour or however long you had. And I miss SSR. Like, I think we all need SSR in our lives as adults, don't you?
Yes, I do.
We deserve it. But sort of the sneaky, unofficial SSR meaning is Shit She Read, because every week we talk about a book that a guest and I would have read when we were in middle or high school. So it's kind of like a throwback experience. We've covered books like Nancy Drew and Harriet the Spy and The Princess Diaries. And every week you talk about what the experience is like to revisit them, talking about like whether we still love them, whether they've lost some of their sparkle, whether there are things in them that are actually kind of upsetting now that we're adults and understand like the deeper meaning of them. So it's just been really fun and I'm having the best time doing it.
What inspired you to start this podcast?
Well, when I first moved to New York after college, I was working for a book publisher here in the city, and it was a really cool experience. I learned so much, had awesome mentors, and ultimately it just wasn't quite the right fit for me because I wanted to do something more creative, which is why I decided to finally put that journalism degree to good use and try freelancing full time. But something that I really missed once I'd settled into my life as a writer was being surrounded by book people all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was literally drowning in books and talking about books all the time, and meetings were about books and just like eating, sleeping, breathing books. And I missed it so much. And so I knew that I needed to figure out a way to bring books back into my life in a bigger way. I'd started a book club with my friends a few years ago, and that sort of did the trick, but not quite. Mm-hmm. And then I also have just like fallen in love with podcasts over the last few years. Podcasts really helped me through the stress of deciding to quit my job and become a freelancer. They've been really helpful as somebody that works from home. You know, I spend a lot of time by myself, so I find myself listening to podcasts a lot while I'm commuting and kind of going from place to place because otherwise my life is very quiet. Mm-hmm. And I've also always just been really interested in pop culture and the way that different kinds of media impact our lives and impact the way that we have conversations. And so those three things, like my need for a book talk, my love of podcasts, and this just sort of like intellectual curiosity about books and the media, like all kind of came together. And I had this aha moment that this is what I really wanted to be able to put out into the world as a passion project.
I love it. And I love listening to the podcast. I look forward every Tuesday because you bring back books that I read 20 years ago and just kind of like in thinking about it now as an adult, the themes, do they resonate? Do they don't resonate? Is it true? Is it not true? So it's a pretty cool idea to bring throwback books into the podcast world.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah. So what podcasts do you listen to? I'm curious to hear now.
Oh, because I'm new to the world of book podcasting, I embarrassingly like don't have a lot of good book podcast recommendations just because I didn't know until I started SSR how many awesome book podcasts there are. So I'm just now like learning about them. So I've checked out your podcast. I love Unassigned Reading. I love the Books and Booze podcast, which is out of Australia. And they have sort of a similar like sassy take on things to me. You can tell by their title, Books and Booze. Mm-hmm. And then outside of the book realm, I love listening to a huge range. I love the Dax Shepard Armchair Expert podcast. I love Anna Faris's Unqualified podcast. Mm-hmm. I love a podcast called Good Christian Fun, which is similar to my podcast in that it examines sort of like a subculture and picks apart different pieces of media. And they talk about Christian culture, which isn't something that I personally have ever been a part of, but it's just like fascinating to hear them talk about books and music and movies from this like very niche culture. It's fascinating and also hilarious if anybody's interested in that. I listen to Real Housewives recap podcasts, which make me laugh out loud consistently. And I listen to the Jenna Kutcher Goldigger podcast as well. And How I Built This. Those are two really great sort of inspiring businessy ones that have helped me a lot in terms of like feeling confident as a freelancer and just not being afraid to do my own thing professionally.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely check out Goldigger. I've heard about that podcast before. So you're mentioning it again. So I'm like, I'm definitely going to check it out this week.
Yeah, Jenna's awesome. And like even this past week, she had an episode about SEO. And, you know, I've been running blogs and now running a site for the podcast for a long time. And it's nice to have a podcast that's really actionable. And she just has some great tips that have helped me in lots of different ways to build up my projects.
I love it. Thank you for the recommendation. So for the SSR, you read backlist young adult novels or classics. What has been your favorite book so far?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, I recently fell back in love, like head over heels in love with Ella Enchanted by Gail Carson Levine. Did you read that one when you were a kid?
No, I did not.
Oh, you have to. It's so good. It's this really cool fairy tale retelling, and I won't give too much of it away because the episode's coming out in a couple of weeks. I think early September, if anybody wants to check it out. But I reread that recently, and then we recorded the interview for it last week, and I would say that held up maybe the best of all the books that I've read so far. And then it was hard. There's been a lot of books that have been sort of hard to revisit just because the messages in them have been like so shocking to me. There's just like so many issues with them, you know, now that I read them as an adult, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about since you've listened. But like Nancy Drew was really like fascinating to read. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was also really fascinating to read just in terms of like seeing it in a whole different way. So even though I didn't maybe like fall in love with those again, I really enjoyed them just in terms of like it being such a different reading experience.
I love it. Yeah, I think it's like it's an interesting reading experience going back, revisiting some of these books and just from your take on being an adult and just being in a different world like than you were back in the day. You know, it's a completely different, you know, the themes that come up. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know if this resonates anymore. So,
yeah. Are you a rereader? Like, do you generally reread books?
Sometimes I tend to read a lot of books. So, I would say 10% are rereads, okay, and then the rest are new books. So, it depends. I reread Sweet Valley High recently, and I was appalled, yeah, with it. I was like, oh my gosh, how? And I read 100 of these books. I read pretty much the whole series when I was growing up. And now I'm like, okay, first of all, you know, it's so different now. Like, they don't have cell phones, they don't have their communication and the themes. And I was like, yeah, I cannot stand these girls. They were so whiny. So,
yeah, I'm itching to do an episode on Sweet Valley. And I have not revisited Sweet Valley in a long time. So I'm like very anxious to go back myself and see what I think about them now.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. I did read, they re-released, like when they were growing up, like they're grown up now and they're like adults, and there's like a serial, like about six book serial. And it was interesting to do it, to read them. And it was like complete dramedy, like a chick lit. It read like a chick lit, but there were themes that I was like, you know, as a high schooler, I don't think that's real.
Right.
So,
been there totally.
Yeah, so let's talk about your reading life. When do you read, and what do you love most about reading?
I usually read at night. I feel like that's a really boring answer, like the whole I read before bed thing. But okay, that's mostly when I read. One of the things that I missed the most about my corporate job was that I would ride the subway to work every day, and that was like such prime reading time. And I was just like tearing through books because I would have so much time to just sit and read on the subway. And so one of the challenges I found since I have been freelancing and working from home for myself is that I just like don't have as much downtime to read, because I'm always like running a million miles an hour trying to fit everything in with my work and now with the podcast too. So I'm always trying to like squeeze more time in through during the day. I've toyed over the last couple of weeks of maybe like trying to build in some morning reading. Do you do that? Like, are you a nighttime reader? Or?
I read during my commute. Although I now have a really short commute, like a 10-minute commute, so it's not a lot of reading get done there. I read in the morning instead of going to the phone and checking my Instagram.
Yeah,
I actually do about 20 to 30 minutes of reading. That just kind of like gets me my day going. And then I read at night. I read for a few hours. So my TV time has decreased because I read during that time.
Yeah, I think that's the trick. And my husband and I have recently been like setting all these resolutions about, you know, having better screen habits, better TV habits. And I think so much, unfortunately, of our world is it's just there's so much to consume, so much to listen to, so much to watch. And I think sometimes it's important to like check yourself and figure out where you need to rein it in. Ever since I started reading so much more for the podcast too, my biggest challenge has been making sure that I am able to keep up with the reading for the recordings that I'm doing for SSR without sacrificing like the books that I want to read that are new and adult books. So I think I've been reading more lately than I was before I started the podcast, but I'm still trying to figure out where I can free up a little bit more time in my day here and there to read so that I'm not just like saving it all up for nighttime.
Yeah. And do you read Kindle, hardbacks, paperbacks? What type of format do you read the most?
I went through a little bit of a Kindle phase a couple of years ago. I have the Paperwhite, which I actually really like a lot. And it wasn't too expensive either, but I honestly haven't used it in, I'm going to say, 2 years, which I feel so silly about. But there's something about the experience of going and picking out a book and of reading a physical book that I just really prefer. And I find that like buying books is my major vice. And if that's the worst thing that I do, then I'm just going to kind of own it. We have a great indie bookstore in my neighborhood too. And ever since they opened, I've really enjoyed going there and supporting them. So that sort of like played into my love for physical books all the more. And a lot of my friends are book people. So we always are doing a lot of swapping of the books that we have in our personal libraries, which is nice too.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah. I wish I had more friends to a book swap. That's something that I'm putting as a resolution than just making intention to do. But yeah, I hear you. I hear you about physical books. There's something good about them, just holding the book together, than just reading on your phone or reading on the Kindle and whatnot.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. What's your favorite genre?
Oh, I love all things contemporary fiction. The more character driven, the better. So I would like read a book that's rich in character detail and rich in character drama, even if there's no action whatsoever. Like I love books that are about dysfunctional families. The Nest is a good one. This Is Where I Leave You by Jonathan. Why is his last name? I was going to say Jonathan Franzen, but I know it's not him. This Is Where I Leave You is a great dysfunctional family book. The Corrections, which is by Jonathan Franzen, one of my favorite books of all time. Mm-hmm. Also books like The Interestings, which are about like this really richly drawn group of friends. I love those kinds of books. I actually get bored of books that are just like really high action because I find that it's too easy to skim through all of that. I don't know. I think that's just the way my brain works. I would much rather dig really deep into the characters.
Did you read The Ensemble?
Yes, I did. I read it earlier this summer.
Okay. Yeah, I felt that was a very character-driven for me, and I tend to go for plot-driven books, so I felt that for me that was too much character and not enough plot. So.
Interesting. So we're book opposites.
Yeah, we are. But it's interesting.
So. Yeah, I read the synopsis of The Ensemble and I was seeing it everywhere and the cover is like so beautiful. And I think I just like, I enjoyed it, but I think I might have overhyped it for myself a little bit because I went into it really expecting it to be just like The Interestings, which is one of my favorite books. And it was so heavy on like the classical music piece of things, which was new for me and just not something I knew very much about, but I wish The Ensemble, I think, is one of those books that maybe I like read too much about and was like liking too many Instagram posts about because then I was a little disappointed when I read it. But that definitely is right in my wheelhouse in terms of how character driven it is.
Yeah. And I'm reading Beartown, which is a lot of characters. So if you're it's a small town, hockey town, there's an event that happens, but there's a lot of characters. It's more character driven than the plot. So you might want to check that one out.
That sounds cool. Have you read Empire Falls by Richard Russo?
No, I have not. What is it about?
That sounds similar to that. I'm packing up my bookshelves right now because we're moving and I just packed my copy of Empire Falls and the cover of my paperback has literally come clean off because I read it so many times. It's similar, a similar vibe. It's about like a small town. And it's been a while since I did my last reading of it, but it's about all of these different characters living in the small town and how they're connected. It's a really good one. It's not new. It's certainly on the older side at this point, but it's a great read.
Awesome. So what are your top three favorite books of all time? You mentioned one, but what are some of the other ones?
Well, Harry Potter, I mean, my favorite ever. I can't help myself. And if I had to pick one, it would probably be Goblet of Fire.
Awesome.
My favorite book that I've read in the last probably 5 years period is called Tuesday Nights in 1980 by Molly Prentice. Have you heard of it?
No, I'm not. What is it about?
It's so funny because I think I told all my friends about it and I told like I made everybody that I know read it. And it's really I think they've gotten a lot more hype in Brooklyn because the author lives here in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And it's about, again, it's sort of these interconnected characters. There's an artist and an art critic. And like this young woman who's new to New York, and it's about New York City in the 1980s and how they all sort of are rotating around each other. It's this like very gritty, it's a little bit racy, but whether you live in New York or not, it's just this like fascinating portrait of these people. And the writing is like blow your mind insane. It's so gorgeously done. And I just can't say enough about it. It's so good. Really one of the best books I've ever read in my whole life. And I think everybody should read it. Want to break it out of the Brooklyn crew. It's a great one.
I'm going to check it out. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah. And then Jonathan Franzen is one of my favorite authors. The Corrections. I actually think Freedom I might prefer to The Corrections, although it's hard because I love them both so much. But I think Jonathan Franzen's Freedom is probably in my top three over The Corrections. Mm-hmm. And it's like this, I think it's like 800 pages. It's a huge book. I have the hardcover and it's a brick. And it's like interconnected characters. It's great. Beautifully done.
Awesome. Who else are your go-to authors other than Jonathan Franzen?
Jonathan Franzen for sure. And Curtis Sittenfeld. I just finished her short story collection yesterday. Meg Wolitzer, Jennifer Egan, who wrote A Visit from the Goon Squad, and Emma Straub, who wrote Modern Lovers and The Vacationers. And she actually happens to own my local bookstore. So I see her around town sometimes, and I kind of fangirl every time I do because I just love her work so much.
I love it. Yeah, I've been to Books and Radic. It's a really cool bookstore. I love it.
It's amazing. Well, then you've been right in my neighborhood. It's like 4 blocks away from my apartment.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I went there a few weeks ago. I was doing a bookstore tour of like indie bookstores in New York City.
Cool.
So I had to stop and I was like, there's an Instagram wall. It was such a cute bookstore. It has like so many cute stuff and it's great list of like actually new release books available. So
yeah, and there's some cool history there. There was another indie bookstore in our neighborhood that was here for years and years, like long before I moved here, called Book Court. And they closed, I think, 2 years ago. And it was this very devastating thing, especially for people who have lived here for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Books Are Magic opened a few months after them. And they bought all of the old shelves from Book Court. And they now use those shelves in Books Are Magic, which I think is just such like a fun little tidbit about this book community here in Brooklyn.
Oh, I love it. That's so nice to hear. So, favorite book do you read in 2018 so far?
The Immortalists by Chloe Benjamin. Have you read that one?
No, it's on my list. I had it from the library and I ended up returning it. I heard mixed reviews. So I want to hear what's your take on The Immortalists.
I really enjoyed it. But then again, now that you know like what my book personality is, I'm sure it makes sense. If you're more of a plot-driven, action-driven kind of person, I understand maybe why you returned it and maybe like tabled it for later. Mm-hmm. But it's about these four siblings and how their lives unfold over time, especially in relation to this prophecy kind of thing that they heard when they were kids. I think it's beautifully done. Most of my friends it's made its rotation through our whole book swap group. And I think almost everybody loved it. So that was a favorite. I also loved Hey Ladies, which I know has been getting like tons of love everywhere, but I read it in one day while I was on vacation and I could not stop laughing. It was hilarious. I really can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, I read Hey Ladies in the sitting, and it was hilarious. I was oh my gosh, all my friends need to read this book. Because we've been part of email chains, we've been part of weddings, we've been part of all this drama. So it's so funny.
Yeah, and I was on vacation with my husband, and I kept laughing so hard. And he was like, well, what are you laughing at? Tell me, I want to know. And I was like, you won't get it. And then he was like, no, I want to know. And then I was like, okay, wait, listen to this one. You're going to love it. And I would read it, and he'd be like, what? I don't get it. And I was like, this is why I need to be reading this with a glass of wine and all of my girlfriends, because I'm such in that time, like you were saying, like I'm in a bunch of weddings and we've all kind of been through this. So it's such a great parody of all of that. And then I just read last week When Katie Met Cassidy by Camille Perry, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I read that too. I wish it was longer. That was my take on for that book. I wish it was like 100 pages longer.
Yeah.
It was a really cute book. It was a cute story.
Yeah, I agree. I think it could have benefited from like a little bit more. I definitely would have read 100 pages more, which is great.
Yeah, So it's great. It's great when a book leaves you hanging and you're like, you know, you wish you had that more. And it's actually a really good book to have.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah. So what's the most anticipated new release for 2018?
I feel like I have not been able to read a lot of the books that I wanted to read so far in 2018 because I've been getting the podcast up and running. I've been really excited to read the new Jessica Knoll book, The Favorite Sister.
Did you read it? Yes. If you like The Housewives, you're going to enjoy it.
Okay, good. It's on my list.
Yeah, there's a strong feminist agenda. So just an FYI, it's very strong. But it follows the Real Housewives of New York in some way. It's a reality TV show book. So just followed. It reminded me of like the first couple seasons of Real Housewives of New York, which are my favorite seasons.
Yeah.
So just the storylines and stuff that happened. So it's a really good book.
Yeah, I loved Luckiest Girl Alive. I read that in like a single day when it came out. So I'm really excited to read Favorite Sister. I know it's not really like the most anticipated release anymore because it's out, but it is for me because I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
I also have the Book of Essie at the top of my TBR pile, which I'm looking at right now, and I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, so another guest actually recommended for me to read it a few months ago, and I ended up reading it in a day too.
Wow.
And it's really good. It's about a reality TV show, so there's a reality if you like that, which you do, which will be center. I just kept reading, wanting to know more about it. I wanted to know who the baby daddy was. I wanted to know how this is all going to unravel. There was all these questions that were just, they were in the beginning, and I was just like, I can't stop reading until I knew all the answers. So it was a really good book.
Oh, well, that makes me more excited to read it. I'm working on one book for the podcast right now, and then I think Book of Essie will be right after that. And then because I don't only want to read books about reality TV, although I enjoy them and I'm glad that that's becoming sort of a subgenre of its own, I'm really looking forward to the Michelle Obama book, which is coming out in November.
I know, me too. I'm so excited. I was looking at they had all those big posters in Book Expo and I was like, it's coming.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. What has been your most disappointed read?
I already mentioned this, and I feel bad saying it because I did enjoy the book, but I think in recent memory, I'm going to have to say The Ensemble. And again, I think that's more just a consequence of like Bookstagram and me being maybe a little bit overenthusiastic. It came out right around the time that I was starting to do social media for the podcast. And so I was like in the middle of Bookstagram, back in it with all the book talk with all of these awesome book lovers online. And so I think maybe that was like the first instance of my really just kind of like latching on to the hype about a book instead of taking a step back and like making sure it was something that I would genuinely love. So I think I would have read it no matter what, and I probably would have enjoyed it somewhat no matter what. But I just think in terms of like whether it lived up to my expectations or not, I'm going to have to say recently The Ensemble was probably pretty disappointing for me.
I hear you. Yeah, for me, I felt it was slow. There was just too much character, too much classical music, not enough plot. And I was like, what else was I reading? I was like, I felt like I wanted to read more of something, and it didn't meet what I was looking for. But that's my reading taste, too.
Yeah, I feel like I needed to know more about classical music to really enjoy it. And I think there's such a fine line between reading a book where you stand to learn a lot about something new versus where it's a new topic that you like can't really follow if you don't come in with some prior knowledge. And I think maybe The Ensemble leaned a little bit in like the latter direction.
Yeah. So I hear you. What book should my listeners must pick up and add into their TBR?
I'm going to say Tuesday Nights in 1980. I sound like a broken record, but I really want people outside of my little Brooklyn neighborhood to read it. I can't say enough good things about it. And everybody who has read it in my life, no matter what their reading taste, has come back to me and said that they absolutely loved it. I haven't heard a bad review yet. So I'm going to encourage everybody to give it a try. Plus, it has a really fun cover.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look forward to picking it up.
Yay.
Yay. Tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me on my personal accounts at @ahafkosik. You can also check out my blog, which is www.findingplana. If you want to check out my work and what I'm just kind of doing in my day-to-day life. And I would love for everybody to check out the SSR podcast. Obviously, I think you're going to love it if you're listening to this show. On Instagram and Twitter, we're at SSR Pod. And you can find us on Facebook at the SSR Podcast. And if you want to get like all this information in one place, it's www.ssrpodcast.com. We come out every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and hopefully Spotify very soon too.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun. I love the book talk.
Thank you, Ali, for great book recommendations. For show notes and a list of books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. In the comments, please share what other book podcasts you listen to. If you'd like to support this podcast, it only takes 2 minutes to leave a review in iTunes. This is the best way for this podcast to get discovered by a new bookish audience. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a fantastic day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.